Welcome to the Healthy You Radio Network, radio that empowers you to heal you. This is Keisha Ewers, your network host, and I'm proud to introduce the most dynamic show on radio that's all about the health of your mind and the expansion of your consciousness. Welcome to Mind Matters Radio with meditation and Reiki master Ajayan Boris.
Ever wonder what you're really capable of? Scientists tell us we use only a fraction of our true potential. Welcome to Mind Matters, part of the Healthy You Radio Network, where we'll explore the frontiers of human growth. Find out what experts in the field of psychology, personal and spiritual growth, relationships, and science have to say that will help you to live your life to the fullest. And now your host, Ajayan Boris.
And welcome, everyone, to Mind Matters Radio. I'm Ajayan Boris, your fellow explorer of human potential. And as you know, if you're a regular listener, we're here every Monday for one reason, and that is to empower you and heal and develop your mind, because your mind matters. Today, our guest is Megan Dawn. She is author of Meditations with Teresa of Avila, A Journey into the Sacred. We'll be talking with her about what this great mystic has to say that's relevant to us, you know, today in our spiritual lives. Can you become a modern mystic? Stay tuned. And right now with me is Kathleen Lawrence. She is our mind health advisor, local Bellevue therapist specializing in individual, family, and couples counseling. Kathleen, welcome again.
Thank you.
All right. So what are we talking about today?
I thought we'd spend a little bit of time talking about regression. It's a topic that we could actually spend a whole hour on. So we'll see if we can do it briefly.
Okay. Now, when you say regression, what do you mean exactly?
Basically, when I'm talking about regression in therapeutic terms, what I'm talking about is when adult behavior actually comes from a child's state. So within all of us, there are all those childhood states from our growing up that are still very alive and
active.
That's
happening all the time with everybody.
That's right. I mean. Exactly. We all regress. Everybody regresses. The kind of the key to whether or not it becomes a dysfunctional behavior is when we regress and we don't know we're regressing. And when it comes in a way that either it's what I call the kid is driving the bus, you know. So as you're going through your daily life, are you terrified at work to speak up, to say something, to come out of your office? In which case, the kid is probably driving the bus. The adult, you know, it's an adult body there, but the adult has left the building.
Right.
And so that's the kind of analogies that I like to
use. So many different cases. Are you reacting? I mean, you know.
Exactly. Reacting from a kid's state. Sure. Couples, when you get into battles of wills and arguments, when you get into that battle of wills, you're probably both acting in a kid's state.
Right, right.
And you're probably regressed at that point. And if you can become aware of that, if you can say, ah, we're acting like kids here, then there's a time, it's kind of one of those moments when you say, oh, now I know what's going on. I know why we're not getting anywhere. Let's take a break until we can get grounded in our adult.
Well, there's so many forms of therapy that, you know, actually look at this as a primary thing, and almost so much conflict and difficulty forgiving and so on.
You know,
the clearing we've talked about on this show.
Yes.
That's totally based on this idea of regression. A lot of work with relationships. Who is it? The name escapes me, but getting how to get the love you want or something like that.
Oh, I know who you mean.
That, in a workbook.
Right.
It's all about regression in a way.
Yes. And so, a lot of what I deal with in conflict and in families, parents who get into conflict with kids when it gets into when parents start to lose it, when they talk about losing it. I just lost it and started screaming. There's a parent who is at the point where they don't know what to do, they've been triggered, they got regressed to a kid state. Probably the other thing for parents to look at is when something happened very unsuccessfully in an interaction with their kids, did I just regress to be the same age as my child? And were we dealing in a peer relationship rather than me being the parent and them being the child? Again, once the adult has left the building, things don't go well.
Right.
So, and there are some healthy regressive places, too, if you're playing. being playful. That's that kid state, that kid delight. And being playful. So, so it's not that all regression is bad, because being in a playful state with your partner or being in a playful state with your kids, playing with your kids, there's a really nice, healthy way of being regressed or in touch with that playful part and that regressed part of you, but still still keeping the adult active and alert inside of you also, so that you're not just just in a regressed place or just in a childhood state.
Yeah, that's good to hear. It's not all bad. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Let's say, so are there some tips you can give us for noticing that you regress, and then what do you do once you notice that?
Right. One of the some of the tips, a couple of them that I've given. In addition to that, if you ever catch yourself or your or whoever you're acting with, "You made me," as soon as that phrase comes out of your mouth, that could be a trigger in itself for oops. Am I regressed? Because the adult part of us knows we don't make each other. Mm. You know, "You made me mad." No, I got mad. That's what the adult part of me knows. The kid part doesn't have enough life experience yet. That's that kid state of not having enough life experience to realize we really can choose whether or not we get angry or whether or not we get scared in some cases. So hearing that phrase, that's probably one of the most common ones that I hear. He made you? She made you? And it, my clients know as soon as I say that, oh, okay, I'm regressed. And so there's that's a good indication. Acting out, if you're acting out in some way, lying, avoiding, running, acting out in addictions, that's all comes from a regressed state. And people who actually people in addiction stop wherever they are, wherever that addiction began, stops their stages of development. So with some addictions, alcohol, drugs, those kinds of things that began in teenage, I've actually had adults in therapy who were almost permanently regressed to a teenage state because they hadn't been able to develop. Once you begin your addiction, your development stops. You cannot develop and continue to develop while you're in addiction.
Interesting.
So then the therapy becomes now a full-fledged adult completing that stage of development or completing those teenage years so that they actually grow into a full-functioning adult and are not acting out in teenage rebellion. That's a quite common one. If you find yourself rebelling like a teenager, or if you have a teenager and the two of you get into rebellion together, you know you're regressed. So that would be another one. When you decide that you have to protect yourself from somebody who isn't threatening you. So I have to protect myself when you get mad at me. I need to protect myself from your anger. And, you know, again, the adult knows that I can be in an adult state and I can witness your anger. I can witness you being angry and I don't have to protect myself from anything. It's that kid place that says, I'm scared when people get angry. I don't know what to do. And so I try and protect myself from it. That's a kid state.
Right.
So those are some of the indications. And what you can do is at the point when you realize that's the biggest thing about some of these triggers that you find yourself regressed, then the key then is, where's my adult? And some really kind of cute little tools to use. One of them that I tell everyone, say your phone number backwards, because kids can't do that.
They cannot.
They can't do that. So when you can say your phone number backwards, you know that you have grounded into an adult state. So, and it could even be in a, the other, another one is to internally call on your adult. Where's my adult?
So I wonder how many of our listeners just tried to repeat their phone number backwards. I did. I made it.
Yeah, there you
okay,
go.
Okay, so at least for the moment, I'm in my adult state. Good to
right,
know.
Right,
okay.
See, there you go. And yeah, so, and if you find yourself not, then take some time with yourself. And at the point when you can, then you know, oh, okay, my adult's on board. back in my adult state. Particularly if you're driving, it's a really good thing to have the adult drive, probably not the kid. Reckless driving, there's a big one, or driving fast, or things like that. Anger, you know, some of the road rage, that's a regressed state. So at those times, that's the time when you look for that adult, breathe, take some time. Where's my adult? And you can even internally have a conversation between that kid state. You can, you know, you can play with it a little bit. How old do I feel right now in that kid state? You know, you can almost trace it back to an age. And if you practice that a little bit, you can say, gosh, I feel seven. And so that you kind of become aware. So there's also an element of self-growth in becoming aware of your regressed states and where they are.
So what about if you're in an actively engaged conversation and you're regressed? What can you do then? Let's say with your spouse, you know?
Yeah, with your spouse, take a break.
Just take a break,
Take a break.
Go back there, try to remember your phone number backwards.
Right. And you can even say something like, you know, I just caught myself, I'm just kind of triggered into a kid state, or I feel like I'm six, I need to take a break. So that I can come back and discuss this with you as an adult. You know, something along those lines, take a break, is the best, that's the healthiest thing to do until you can get to that point of calm and being able to come and deal in the conversation rationally. If you're in a work situation, it's really interesting. So many people I know get triggered in business meetings. So you're in a meeting, all of a sudden you find yourself in that kid state, that usually comes on as panic. Scare, I did it wrong, I don't know, I don't have the right answer. Some of those things that are kid performance types of things. And again, if you can keep some key phrases in your head that you can call on when you find yourself in that state. So it's, you know, I need to think about that for a moment. And that gives you some time to kind of work with yourself. Oh, okay, I'm scared, I'm in a kid state, but my adult's here. Where's my adult? Where's my adult? I know what I know, and it's actually okay not to know if I don't know.
Well, even just having that awareness that you're in that, at least you're observing it from a point outside of that total identification with the kid regressed state.
Exactly. And actually, frequently, to be able to notice it is in itself the thing that will ground you back in your adult. Because that kind of takes a more adult state, or at least an older state, to even identify that you're there.
Right. That's pretty much the key in a lot of cases, to just simply be aware of what your experience is in many cases.
That's right.
All right. Well, very interesting. Thanks, Kathleen. I think we have to go to a break. You're listening to Mind Matters with me, Ajay, and Boris. Stay with us. We'll be back in a minute to talk with Megan Don, author of Meditations with Teresa of Avila, about how you can become a modern mystic.
What are you doing October 2011? Why not travel to the birthplace of meditation and yoga, the source of the sacred Ganges River, high in the Himalayas, with world-renowned meditation teacher Ajay and Boris. This region of the Himalayas is considered by many to be the most physically beautiful in the world, and it is as rich with spiritual history as with natural beauty. Here, for countless millennia, saints and sages have taken refuge to perform their spiritual practices. The gods and goddesses are said to dwell here. And for centuries, devotees have journeyed to Gangotri to visit the source of that holiest of holy rivers, the Ganges. We invite you to journey to the spiritual heart of our planet to enjoy a sublime and sacred meditation and nature retreat with Ajay and Boris. For more information, go to ajayan.com. Or email ajayan@ajayan.com. You can call 425-677-5451. That's 425-677-5451.
Information provided on the Healthy You radio show is provided for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for the advice provided by your physician or other healthcare professional. You should not use the information from the broadcast of the radio show for diagnosing or treating a health problem, disease, or prescribing any medication or other treatment.
Meditation heals and vitalizes both mind and body. Learn this wonderful art with world-renowned meditation instructor Ajayan Boris in the Effortless Mind Meditation Classes. The Effortless Mind Meditation Classes offer a direct experience of exceptionally deep meditation, accessible to anyone. Call the Fern Life Center today, 425-391-FERN. The Effortless Mind. So easy, anyone can do it.
Ajayan's next Effortless Mind Meditation class is August 6th at the Fern Life Center in Issaquah. Check out ajayan.com for more details.
Made fresh each day for you. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Mind Matters with Ajayan Boris and Kathleen Lawrence. And we're on the Healthy You Radio Network. Just a reminder, if you can't tune in every Monday at 1 p.m., you can access all of our shows 24/7 via podcast or archived on healthyyouradio.com or ajayan.com. And if you're out of range, you can listen live online via healthyyouradio.com. All right, so now with us is Megan Dawn. As I mentioned earlier, she is the author of Meditations with Teresa of Avila, A Journey into the Sacred. She's also a spiritual director and retreat presenter and lectures and teaches workshops on the mystical pathway and the divine feminine. I was also interested to see that Megan's work is now concentrating on on the Celtic and Gnostic traditions, the life and consciousness of Mary Magdalene, the Tree of Life and Kabbalah, and the Gnostic Gospels. Interesting.
Very.
Megan, welcome to Mind Matters.
Thank you very much. It's lovely to be with you and with your listeners.
All right. Thanks for joining us. So, first off, you know, I have to say to our audience, of course, St. Teresa has been one of my great spiritual heroes for years, and I've read all her collected works and all that, and I really just delved into her many years ago. And so it's always nice to be able to talk about her, and I think she has a kind of universal attraction. I wondered, Megan, if you could just talk a little bit about that, who she was and why she seems to still be so relevant today.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think basically, you know, she was a 16th century Spanish mystic, and she was really given the mission to reform the Carmelite order. I mean, it's really quite relevant to us today when you look at Spain at that time. There was a growing divide, you know, between the rich and the poor. There were a lot of institutions politically, socially, and in religious sphere that were very corrupt and had really gotten away from the initial impetus of what it was to devote oneself to the spiritual life and to live just in a basic humanitarian way. And she was really given the mission to reform her order and to bring it back to the origins, which Carmel means garden of the soul. So she was really given the mission to bring her part of the church that she was living it to tend to that garden of the soul. And she was a very intellectual woman as well, a very able woman. And I think how she relates to us today also is bringing the contemplative and the active together.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're seeing a lot of institutions and old edifices crumbling today, and he gives us a, if you like, a blueprint of how to really go within and build our own strength and edifice within.
Right. In fact, that's what I was thinking as you were talking. I think she was centuries ahead of her time in terms of not succumbing to, you know, a purely doctrinal kind of view of her own experience. She really, she had an inner touchstone, and she, you know, she worked with the outside forces in the church as to not be flagrantly going against them, but she kind of walked a fine line, didn't she?
Oh, she did, yes. I mean, in fact, her works were up before the Inquisition, you know, because she was speaking about God within and really turning people within to their own soul, to their own experience, you know, speaking about that there are many pathways to know the divine, and it's, you know, up to you to go within to find your own pathway. So, you know, and of course, there were certain church people at the time that didn't appreciate that advice, but she was pretty fearless and standing up to what she knew to be the truth.
They gave her a heck of a time. As I recall, they even told her she couldn't continue praying the way she was praying, and she had to stick with the Hail Mary and Our Father somehow for a while.
Yes. I mean, she was told abominable things, you know, and her experiences weren't valid, and, you know, and so she had to go into all her own deep fears, all her own deep self-doubt, and really face those head on, and then come back out with this renewed strength. So I think that that's another thing that she's very helpful for, because, you know, people are experiencing a lot of fear and a lot of self-doubt in these times. And I think that she, again, is a wonderful guide to say, okay, you know, it's all right to feel these, but we must face them, and we must go underneath them and enter into that deeper part of ourselves that is living beyond that fear and self-doubt.
Right.
So very encouraging.
And it's interesting, I don't want to dwell too long on this, but how, once she found that inner strength, how was it that she turned the tide with her, you know, spiritual directors that were giving her such a hard time and so forth? How did that happen?
Well, it's actually very interesting and not often spoken about that she really was at quite an extreme place in her life where not a lot was moving forward. And she actually called upon Mary Magdalene and asked for assistance. And she said at that moment, her life turned around. And she started to really enter into a lot more depth of prayer, a lot more self-confidence in her experiences. And so it's a very interesting point and place that you know, often gets looked over. So there's something there, I think, about the feminine spirit also. That the feminine spirit, and she was also, you know, came very much to the Divine Mother. So, because her own mother died when she was 13. And so she basically went to the Divine Mother and asked, "Will you be my mother?" And so I think that this gave her a strength also, because, you know, what she was doing in Spain at that time was just absolutely unheard of for a woman. You know, she was buying and selling real estate. She was, you know, traveling the length and breadth of Spain, setting up houses and monasteries. She was fundraising. She was doing things that women just didn't even enter into. So, on a level, I think that this connection with the feminine spirit gave her something much more solid within her own being that allowed her to stand up to the various men who were being critical and trying to put her in her place.
She was an amazing person. For many years, I sort of had the daydream of writing a movie script of her life.
Right.
I just thought that would be so interesting. That's such a powerful mystic, you know. I mean, she did, and then an amazing mover and shaker in the world as well. Boy, and then, of course, you have all the tension of the you know, Inquisition, and then St. Right. John of the Cross on the scene, and
yes.
just him being in prison and all. I make a very rich movie. If somebody out there is listening, you can call me. You can hire me to write this.
Right. You know, I've had thoughts of that myself, you know. It's like, and then it hasn't quite come to be. So maybe we can join forces at some time.
That's an idea. Okay. Give me a good excuse to travel to Spain a lot, too.
Exactly. You know, she's still so much present and alive in Ávila, Spain. I take pilgrimages there, and literally when you enter into Ávila, because it's still, you know, the most famous walled city and the best kept medieval walled city in Europe, and there's something so majestic about it. You really understand how she speaks of God as the majesty sometimes. And, mm-hmm. you know, it is like a huge castle. And it's like, you can understand where she got the image for the soul as a crystal castle. And I often think of that density of the stone being like the density of our own lives, but then as, you know, going through the alchemical process and coming into that crystal, the crystal castle of one's being, the luminous being.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
It's a fascinating journey over there.
Boy, I'd love to go there sometime.
Mm.
So why another book on St. Teresa of Ávila? And I should say that yours is structured very differently than most I've seen.
Mm.
There's many little sections on different topics, and they start with a beautiful quote from St. Teresa's own writings, and then your kind of reflections relating that to the modern, mm-hmm. you know, psyche and spiritual challenges, and then each little section ends with a practical meditation.
Mm.
So that kind of gives a clue why, but I'd like to hear from you what you're hoping to achieve with this book.
Well, I think accessibility is probably the most important thing. We do have, you know, a lot of information and a lot of books. So the format was designed for our busy lifestyle. In, as you said, there's just very small sections that you can pick up at random and open the book and usually will find what you need, or you can read it, you know, through. But also to give accessibility to her teachings, because I've had many people say, we know that Teresa has immense wisdom, but for the life of us, we cannot wade through all of her writings. as you have obviously waded through them yourself,
mm-hmm.
they're very numerous, very lengthy, and at times can be repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there is a, an old-fashioned language that is a barrier to our modern mind and psyche. So
mm-hmm.
I guess what I've done is taken these wisdoms and distilled them to the essence as much as possible and making them relevant to us,
mm-hmm.
To our own lives. So, and really getting rid of some of the, you know, that 16th century Spanish language that perhaps just isn't open, you know, to us to enter in the same way. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I remember in reading that she's sometimes so self-effacing, but I always thought she was doing it just to placate the authorities, you know?
Right.
That's
yeah.
interesting.
Yeah.
She's quite a deft politician there. You know, we have to go to a break now, Megan, but so we'll be back shortly. You're listening to Mind Matters with Ajay and Boris. Stay with us. We'll be back in a minute. We're talking with Megan Dunn about how you can become a modern mystic.
Keisha
yours. You've heard me talk a lot about toxins lurking in your family's water supply on this show. You probably drink bottled water to ensure you're drinking fresh, right? Well, why not eliminate all that plastic too, plus the toxins? You can have cleaner water, save cash, and bottle your own water with home water filtration from Pacific Northwest Filters. PNWfilters.com can help you protect your family's health and save you money. PNWfilters.com has convenient under-the-counter water filters and systems for your entire house. Be safe, be smart, and check out PNWfilters.com.
Thinking about doing a cleanse? Why not do it all the way and detox your body, spirit, and mind? Here's what people are saying about Fern Life Center's Ayurvedic Full Body Detox Program called Panchakarma.
My journey with Keisha and Fern Life Center began in February 2008. Upon my initial consultation, my heart and spirit knew Keisha would be the compassionate healer and medical provider I had looked for all of my adult life. My now husband and I went through the Ayurvedic Panchakarma Detox Program and continued to meet with Keisha to focus on our individual growth and healing. I was able to begin peeling back the layers of blockage I had placed in my life decades ago, like the layers of an onion. Not only did I lose 10 pounds and clear up my skin and digestive issues, but this program was a catalyst that created a sense of freedom in my life that I honestly had not thought was possible to achieve.
Start your journey to health and call Fern Life Center at 424-391-3376 today for a consultation with Keisha. Start your cleanse today. 425-391-3376. Mention this ad and get one of your detox supplements free. Not valid with other offers.
If you are tired of feeling sluggish, overweight, and out of balance, then welcome to the Ideal Protein Weight Loss Method. The Fern Life Center now offers this medically designed protocol that results in fat loss while sparing muscle mass. The Ideal Protein Weight Loss Method is an easy four-phase protocol that helps stabilize the pancreas, hormones, and blood sugar levels while burning fat and maintaining muscle, not to mention an excellent support for cellulite reduction. The best part? We guarantee success. Welcome to your last diet. Call the Fern Life Center now and register for our next free introductory seminar. That's right, free. Call 425-391-3376 or go to fernlifecenter.com. Mention this ad and qualify for a drawing to receive your first product free. Call 425-391-3376 and find your healthy you.
Clear, clean, and crisp. Check us out in digital quality sound on FM 98.9 HD3. Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back. You're listening to Mind Matters Radio with me, Ajahn Boris. Kathleen Lawrence is here as well. And we are speaking to Megan Dunn. She is the author of Meditations with Teresa of Avila, A Journey into the Sacred. And I must say, this book really does kind of bring St. Teresa, you know, just this wonderful mystic and as well, you know, woman of the world in a way, in terms of what she could accomplish. And she was just a dynamo, very fascinating life. Anyway, it brings her right to you, to meet you where you are, and gives you meditations that you can work with on a daily basis and so on. It's really wonderful. So, Megan, thank you for writing this. And if people wanted to get this book, I imagine it's available through Amazon.com and major bookstores and so forth.
Yes, it is.
Do you have a website by chance?
I do. It's mysticpeace.com.
Mysticpeace.com. Okay.
Nice.
All right. Great. So, speaking of mystic peace, you say that you actually make something of a prediction in your book that we will no longer think of mystical experiences as rare occurrences for a select few, but as a natural way of life for all of us. So, how do you see this coming about, first of all, what makes you think this?
I do think that this is a natural way for us to be, to enter deeply into our own beings. And I think that we are all forced at times, oftentimes through times of trial and pain and hardship, to really come deep within to our being. And this is often a beginning place where we encounter ourselves in a whole new light. And it allows us to surrender. You know, we are a people of great control. So the mystic path, it really allows one to lie down and to really start to understand the true nature of our being. And in doing that, experience begins to happen just naturally. And I think people are just opening so much more these days due to various circumstances within their own personal lives and that going on within the world. So there is a greater connection happening with our natural world, with our, you know, our families, our own selves. And I do see it as a place that we can all visit and where humanity is destined to go to understand that deepest connection.
Yes.
And it feels vital also for our well-being and the well-being of our Earth.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions that I had, Megan, was before the break, you were talking about Teresa and how she had her ways of getting underneath fear or getting underneath what the apparent fears were or what the fears that were presented to her in the moment were. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking in terms of what's happened in Japan, because I know in my practice, people are very nervous about so many aspects of that, earthquakes, tsunamis, nuclear power,
right.
All of the various things, what's happening in the world, the various Mother Nature disasters that have gone on.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering how this speaks to what that current nervousness.
Well, the mystic training and Teresa's practice really draws you deeply into that place of peace within. And she does say that there is no security and there is no peace outside of your own being. And she said, we run around to all these different houses outside of ourselves, yet our own house is filled with blessings. So I think what she does and what the mystic path does is draws us within. And so that no matter what is happening on the outside, that peace is maintained. And in fact, she was very clear. She said, even when there is chaos inside as well as outside, underneath that inner chaos, there lives a deeper peace. So she was saying we can experience the fear and the doubt, but we can also go beneath that to the deeper place of peace. And I think that this is where all our meditation training lies. And in fact, I just had an experience of this recently, which was really a very deep and rich spiritual experience where I was having a particular procedure where my smaller being was quite nervous and was probably really not wanting to be there. And I could feel the tension in the body. And yet, at the same time, I could feel that I was enveloped in this greater love and peace. So both were coexisting. I didn't have to deny one or the other. Oftentimes we feel one or we feel the other. We either feel great peace or we feel the tension and the fear. But in this experience, I was feeling them both at the same time, and they both felt unified, and they were both relevant and both true. And yet it was the greater peace and love that was enveloping me, which was the greater experience. So I think from our meditations and our entry into the mystic pathway and many traditions of meditation, that we can actually hold the smaller self and being with its fears within the greater context of love. Just as right now, on the outer, there's all this chaos, and perhaps we are feeling fear, we can also hold that within the greater context of a greater love and peace.
Exactly. I like the whole perception of that also from the standpoint of not denying. I think that's one of the biggest things that that I see is people going into denial. I'm not supposed to be afraid, or I can't be afraid. You know.
That's really a good point. You know what you said about going in for a certain procedure? It reminds me, just a week ago, I went in for a root canal, and I was pretty nervous about it, too.
Yeah.
But I also kind of went into a meditative state while I was having the root canal, and even though I was there for a couple hours, by the time she was done, I thought, ooh, are we done already? I'm not quite finished. I'd like to stay here.
Can you
Which
just be one on the other side?
That surprised. Yeah, right. That surprised me.
And I think too, humor goes a long way on our spiritual path, and that was something Teresa was well known for, was her humor. And she does say, please, you know, whatever you do, don't take yourself too seriously.
Yeah.
You know, she said, if you can't laugh at yourself and your own smallness and pettiness, she said, you're going to have a very difficult path.
Exactly. It's true.
Yeah,
for all of us to have, I think one of the other lessons that she gave me was for us to have that compassion and mercy for our own foibles.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that is, I mean, we haven't really been taught how to do that, how to be compassionate with our own soul. You know, I write that in the book, too, about, you know, this poor little ego self that, you know, it's got all these claims and desires and wants and needs. And yet, when we really strip it down, all it wants is to be loved.
That's right. Yeah.
You know? So I don't think it's a matter of getting rid of the ego or the small self or your, you know, wants and needs. It's simply about encompassing them and loving them. And as you say, having that compassion and mercy. And I think that is truly the only way we can have compassion and mercy with others. I mean, I've seen it in myself. When I've been harsh with myself, I've been equally as harsh with somebody else.
Yes, and I think in some ways how harsh we are with others is kind of the top of the iceberg with how really harsh we're being on ourselves in that moment.
So, yes, self-compassion is a good one, and the humor in it.
Yes.
Yeah, combined.
Well, maybe this is a good point to go to a break, and when we come back, we'll dive into this a little deeper. You're listening to Mind Matters with Ajay and Boris. Stay with us. We'll be back in a minute to talk with Megan Dunn, author of Meditations with Teresa of Avila, about how you can become a modern mystic.
What are you doing October 2011? Why not travel to the birthplace of meditation and yoga, the source of the sacred Ganges River, high in the Himalayas with world-renowned meditation teacher Ajay and Boris. This region of the Himalayas is considered by many to be the most physically beautiful in the world, and it is as rich with spiritual history as with natural beauty. Here, for countless millennia, saints and sages have taken refuge to perform their spiritual practices. The gods and goddesses are said to dwell here, and for centuries, devotees have journeyed to Gangotri to visit the source of that holiest of holy rivers, the Ganges. We invite you to journey to the spiritual heart of our planet to enjoy a sublime and sacred meditation and nature retreat with Ajay and Boris. For more information, go to ajayan.com or email ajayan@ajayan.com. You can call 425-677-5451. That's 425-677-5451.
It has been said from ancient to modern times that the seat of health begins in the colon. Fern Life Center's colon hydrotherapy is a safe, clean, odor-free method of cleaning up your digestion without the use of drugs or chemicals. Toxicity of the colon can cause severe disease, ranging from simple allergies to major medical problems, including cancer, altered immunity, and even mental health issues that range from brain fog to bipolar disorder. Call Fern Life Center at 425-391-8255. 3376 today to schedule your colon hydrotherapy appointment and start your journey to clean health today. If you call now, you will receive a signature chakra balancing treatment to go along with your colon hydrotherapy session, free. This is a $35 value, absolutely free, if you call now. Go to fernlifecenter.com for more information about our unique colon hydrotherapy program or call 425-391-3376 today.
Meditation heals and vitalizes both mind and body. Learn this wonderful art with world-renowned meditation instructor Ajayan Boris in the Effortless Mind Meditation Classes. The Effortless Mind Meditation Classes offer a direct experience of exceptionally deep meditation, accessible to anyone. Call the Fern Life Center today, 425-391-FERN. The Effortless Mind. So easy, anyone can do it.
Ajayan's next Effortless Mind Meditation class is August 6th at the Fern Life Center in Issaquah. Check out ajayan.com for more details.
Alternative Talk 1150 is now being broadcast in digital quality on FM 98.9 HD3. So rejoice, you early adopters of technology.
Welcome back. You're listening to Mind Matters with me and Jay and Boris. And we are speaking with Megan Dunn. She is the author of Meditations with Teresa of Avila. Kathleen Lawrence, our mind health advisor, is here as well. And all right. So, Megan, I was going to let people know that you actually lead trips to Spain and to Avila. Yeah. Mm-hmm. To anywhere else in Spain or just to Avila particularly?
Just to Avila in particular. And we also visit Elba, St. Olms, where he actually died and is, has the sepulchre there.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. You just do that once a year?
Yes.
Okay, and this year your trip is full. So if people want to plan ahead for 2012, they might consider that. But they could get the information on that about at your website, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, which is once again
mysticpeace.com.
Mysticpeace.com. Okay. Now, Megan, one thing I'd like to ask, because, you know, I really want to give some practical tips to our listeners. And whereas St. Teresa of Avila was, she was such a devotee in the East, they'd say a bhakta. You know, she was just had a profound love and open heart, you know, deep devotion for God. And what would you recommend for those of us who maybe are a little more head-centered, any particular guidance that you give? Yes. I'm sure you'd have this question in the past, but...
Yeah. Well, actually, you know, Teresa experienced enormous difficulty to start with in trying to meditate. And, in fact, she gave up because she felt like she couldn't do it until she realized that she had quite a wrongful idea of what could be occurring. She had a great mind and intellect, so sometimes she found it very hard to harness, as she would say, what she felt like the wild horses running through her mind, you know. So what she used was the ancient practice called Lectio Divina, which is really a divine word or divine reading, and it to make the comparison with the Eastern traditions, this is like a mantra. Mm-hmm. So what she would do is she would choose a phrase from spiritual reading or, you know, scripture or whatever she was reading at the time, something that really grabbed her and stood out, and she would take that phrase or take a word and repeat it over and over. And I often do this in workshops, which really gives people a beautiful entry into a deeper place of calm and their inner self. And one in particular that she used often was, give me your daily bread. Give me your daily bread. And she came to understand that what she was really asking for was her, the daily bread really was spiritual nourishment. And she said it worked on many angles and levels for her, where if the nuns were short on money and she would say this mantra, she would just go into a place of repose and knowing that she would be cared for, knowing that they would be given all that they were needed on a physical basis. Plus, she would also get the spiritual nourishment. And it's really interesting that the word in Hebrew for word for bread and wisdom are very similar. So, you know, it's like she was saying, give me your bread, give me your wisdom.
Beautiful.
And in the repetition of this, you know, we sometimes we can go into a kind of a trance-like state or a calming of the mind.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Beautiful. And you also talk about something else in your book, sort of the opposite end of the scale, mm-hmm. About the, you know, that the possibility of becoming too focused on our inner life, a kind of spiritual narcissism. Mm-hmm. Could you say a few words about that?
I think that, coming into the psychological awareness of our being, we can spend too much time there. You know, Teresa talked about the soul as a castle, you know, crystal castle with many rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that we are not to spend too much time in any one room. So if we go into a room that has emotional darkness or havoc, that we are to spend time there, but not so long that our soul will become depressed or feeling downtrodden. And similarly, you know, not to spend too long in the heights of meditation where it becomes too lofty. So her idea is that we spend time in all aspects of our being. So we go into repose in the meditation, we go into self-knowledge, but there is a balance. And there's a balance between our inner life and our outer life. There's a balance between being alone and being with family and community. So I think whenever we're out of balance and if we're spending too much time just looking within, we can actually get stuck there and create more problems than what is really, really there in the first place.
It kind of reminds me of something Mother Teresa said, where she talked about the difference between sitting in your pain and experiencing your pain, letting it flow through to the other side,
mm-hmm.
and then grasping the learning from it versus sitting in it.
Right, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I often look at the example of with Jesus and the dying of Lazarus. You know, when Lazarus died and Jesus wept, you know, he totally wept. And then he raised him up. And I think, you know, and he brought him back to life. And it's like, oh, this is what we are meant to do. If we're really feeling something deeply, let us cry it out, let us feel it, but then let us also rise up from it and gain new life from it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that cycle.
Mm.
One other thing in your book I wanted to ask you. You quote Teresa as saying, the one who thinks less and has less desire to act does more.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean to you?
Yeah, a very difficult statement for the Western mind.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean I don't do anything? I think this really speaks to pure openness. And this is where I deviate a little bit, you know, where there's a lot of talk about, you know, holding your intention and putting the energy there and, you know, getting your desire. My own experience in life is when I do that, I really actually narrow my life and ask for things that are way smaller than what is wanting to be given. When I sit in openness without any thought or any desire for anything, then the most amazing things are given.
Mm.
Things that I wouldn't even have dreamt about, things I wouldn't even considered possible. That's when I think we really start entering into the infinite possibility. Sure. And as Teresa says, we have the ability to walk through the mind of God. Mm. And I think that this is what it speaks to, that in walking through the mind of God, we're walking into infinity. We're all walking into the utmost of possibility, just in the pure innocence and openness. So, you know, and I think from that you're given everything, and then you know exactly what to do and when to act. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people get afraid, you know. They go, well, if I don't want anything or I don't do anything, you know, what's going to happen? And it's like, yes, things will happen, but in ways far more grander than you can imagine.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's really wonderful to...
It really is, and that also, that speaks so wonderfully to this doing culture,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
where we think we have to have a plan and do.
Yeah, yeah. I had a 5-year plan once, and the first part of it went awry, so I threw it out.
Mm-hmm.
that was my one attempt. Like, this doesn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think I work much better just sort of, as I say, walking along, minding my own business, and then, voila, you know, something is presented.
Yes.
So.
Well, Megan, I think we're at the very close to the end of our hour. I just wanted to mention the book again,
mm-hmm.
Meditations with Teresa of Avila, A Journey into the Sacred by Megan Don. A really beautiful book. Very calming. I noticed whenever I sat down to read it, I just loved to sort of, you know, just relax, and it was very calming effect, this book. So it's a lovely book. Thank you for writing it.
Mm.
And you have your website, mysticpeace.com, is
yes.
that? Okay. And by the way, I forgot to mention Kathleen Lawrence, your website, kathleenlawrence.com. At the beginning
right.
of our show, we had a nice discussion on regression. If you're interested in that, please get in touch with Kathleen that way. Your phone number, Kathleen?
425-445-1462.
And I hope you'll check me out at ajan.com. Thank you for listening. This is Mind Matters, part of the Healthy You Radio Network. Mm-hmm.